Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for the introduction. I'm Heidi Pai from University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. Today, I'm going to present this paper, Pufferfish, Container-Driven Elastic Memory Management for Data-Intensive Applications. So the lead author is my colleague, Wei Chen, and I and Xiaoqi Wang collaborate with him under the supervision of advisor, Dr. Xiaobo Zhou. Here's an outline for today. So first I will introduce some basic knowledge of data-intensive applications and also present the memory problems and also opportunities that we are currently facing. And after that, I will present the mechanism used in Pufferfish and equipped with this mechanism, I will introduce the architecture of Pufferfish and then I'll present the evaluation and finally conclude this paper. As we all know, data analytic applications are widely used in both industry and academias. And for most of them, the applications, they are running on JVM, which are Java virtual machines. For example, we have Hadoop Yarn for cluster resource management. We have Spark and TAS for data analytics, Hive for data warehouse, and HBase for distributed database. So when we are deploying the data-intensive applications in a cluster, each tasks are usually running in the executor. And the executor is, the memory size of that executor is bounded by the JVM heap size. So when we launch the executors, and all the executors are configured with the same JVM heap size, and the JVM heap size cannot be adjusted at runtime. So there are many state-of-the-art. Some of them focus on improved JVM heap management. For example, they analyze the behavior of the data-intensive applications and use this behavior or features to improve the garbage collection mechanism. And we also have some works focused on memory elasticity. So they dynamically adjusted the memory allocation at the runtime for these applications. And also we have a mechanism or technique called VM ballooning. So these mechanisms are used for memory elasticity for virtual machines. And there are still some problems we are facing. The first problem is, as I mentioned before, the garbage collection, because garbage collection for data-intensive applications is very expensive. And the second and the third problem are memory underutilization, the out-of-memory errors, because some of the memory usage of some of the executors is very high, and some of them are very low. So the user usually provision the memory limit for the largest tasks in the job. So for the other tasks, this will cause some memory underutilization if we provision the JVM heap size too large. But if we constrain the JVM heap size, it will usually incur the out-of-memory error. So here's an example of the problems we're facing. So on the in the figure on the left-hand side, it shows the some job runtime and also the garbage collection times of some Spark and the MapReduce jobs. So we can clearly see that in the dashed bar, which is the garbage collection time, it's usually more than half of the total job execution time, which means that garbage collection is very expensive. And in the figure on the right-hand side, we can see the memory footprint of the executors in one job. And this figure presents that we can see that the executor 9, the memory usage of executor 9 is very high. It's about 60 gigabytes, while all the other executor has a very low memory usage. For example, they usually consume 10 gigabytes to 20 gigabytes of memory. So this presents memory heterogeneity. But this also gives us opportunities to leverage these problems, because if we have memory heterogeneity, that means we have to provision the JVM heap size for the largest tasks or largest executors. But what if we can leverage the provisioned memory, but the memory is not actually in use? And also, during our trace, we find that the memory footprint during each executor is dynamic. That means some at the execution of an executor, at some time the memory footprint will be kind of high, and at some time the memory will be low. So what if we can take advantage of this transient idle memory? So this will definitely increase the utilization, memory utilization of a cluster. So now I will present the mechanism used in our work called pufferfish. So the basic idea is pretty simple. So we provision each executor with a very large JVM heap size, but we use the Docker container to constrain the actual physical memory usage of the executors. And the pufferfish use three operations to dynamically increase or shrink the container memory limit for the executor, which is puff, suspend, and resume. So for the puff operation, we increase the memory limit for the container when the task runs and it requests more memory. And for the suspend operation, we suspend the executor, which is under memory pressure. We call it out of container memory container. And for the resume operation, we resume suspended executor when the memory is available again. So the benefit of this idea is that large JVM heap size will always present sufficient memory to each executor. But the executor's physical memory is actually constrained by the Docker container memory limit. So instead of running into out of memory error, the executor will be swapped onto disks when the system or the machine is under memory pressure. And we need to take a very close look at the suspension and resumption operation, because when the host machine or node is under memory pressure, some container will be like the memory of some container or executor will be swapped onto disks. And this swapping operation will incur very significant I/O operations. So to avoid this I/O operation, we need to like suspend the execution of that container. So we use a heuristic. Like we throttle the CPU usage of that container to 1%. So the task progress in that specific container will be throttled. And since the CPU usage is only 1%, it does not read or write many data. So under this mechanism, we can throttle the I/O usage. So in this case, the task is still alive because we have the 1% CPU quota, so and it can send a heartbeat to the like job master, but the I/O activities are significantly throttled. So equipped with all the operation and mechanisms, I will present the architecture of pufferfish. So pufferfish basically consists of three components, container monitor, the memory manager, and the resource scheduler plugin. So the container monitor and the memory manager are reside on the node manager, and the resource scheduler plugin are reside on the resource manager. So the container manager are responsible for performing the container suspension or resume and on a flex container, which I will introduce later. And the memory manager decides how much memory should be provisioned to each container. And for the resource scheduler plugin, it will enforce fairness when taking account of different types of workloads. So pufferfish introduced a new kind of container. We call it a flex container. So tasks running in this kind of containers are provisioned with a very large heap size. But this kind of container are start with a small container memory limit. And when the task requests more memory, it can dynamically adjust the container memory limit. So here I'll use an example to show how this works. So suppose we have a host machine which has 16 gigabytes of total memory capacity. And now we have two executors, executor one, executor two. And they are initialized with 2 gigabytes of container memory limit and the 16 gigabytes of JVM heap size. And after some time, the executor two would like to request more memory from the host machine. So we adjust the container memory limit for executor two to say about 12 gigabytes to satisfy the memory request. And later, at some point, the executor one also would like to request more memory, but the host machine, the memory on the host machine is almost used up. So in this case, the executor one will be swapped onto disks. And in order to avoid the I/O interference to other executors on the same node, we throttle the CPU usage of executor one and resume the execution when the memory is available. So now we have a problem. How can we decide which container to expand? So and how we can assign a priority between each executors. So we use a backup based PUF or memory increase function to decide the amount of memory should be increased to each container. And if the container or the executor with the highest priority still needs more memory during its execution, we can queue the container that has the lowest priority to make some rooms for that highest priority container. And Purfish also have a scheduling plugin which reside on the resource manager. So the scheduling plugin are responsible for exposing the physical memory usage of each node to the cluster scheduler, and it also responsible for balancing the physical memory usage across different nodes. And currently we use 2 policies to determine the priority of each job, which is called the earliest job first and the shortest job first. So for the earliest job first policy, we assign the task that submitted first with the highest priority. And for the shortest job first policy, we assign the shortest job based on some historical traits with the highest priority. And next is our evaluation. So we use a 26-node cluster as our testbed installed with Ubuntu 16.04. Each machine has 32 cores and 128 gigabytes of RAM chip, and the hard disk are configured with RAID 5, and the cluster is connected by 10 gigabytes of Ethernet, and we use Hadoop Young as our cluster resource manager, and use Spark as our application and running in a Docker container. And for the workloads, we use the HiBench as our batch workloads, and use TPCH on Spark SQL as latency critical workloads. So the first evaluation is on the single node. So in this evaluation, we separately submit 2 types of jobs, which are k-means and word count on a single node. And we compare Purfish with the default Yarn under different JVM heap sizes. And the results are normalized to the execution time of our work Purfish. So in the figure on the left-hand side, we can see that the Purfish actually significantly improved the performance for the k-means job. The reason is that the k-means is a CPU intensive job, and it will repeatedly read the data in the memory. However, in the figure on the right hand side, we presented the result for word count job, and the the result, the performance gain from PufferFish is not so significant because the work count job is an I/O intensive job. So a higher parallelism outweighs the larger heap size. And the second evaluation we conducted is the production trace. So we replay a subset of Google trace in our 26 node cluster, and we compare PufferFish with the default yarn also under different heap sizes. So in the figure on the left hand side, we can see that PufferFish achieves almost the best execution time, and the most significant is that PufferFish can survive all these jobs out of memory errors, but with the default yarn under a small JVM heap size, some of the tasks will suffer from the out of memory error and be killed. And in the figure on the right hand side, we show the cluster memory usage. So you can see that PufferFish also achieves almost the best cluster memory usage compared to the default yarn under different heap sizes. And the last evaluation I would like to present here is the mixed workloads. That is, we run some data-intensive workloads as the batch job and some TPCH workload as the latency-critical jobs. So this experiment shows that PufferFish can actually preserve the performance of latency-critical jobs when they are co-located with batch jobs. So in the figure on the left-hand side, we can see that the performance of latency-critical job is not degraded so much. And also in the figure on the right-hand side, it shows the performance of batch jobs. And actually, PufferFish increases improves the performance of batch jobs because of it can dynamically adjust the parallelism. So to conclude this paper, we know that the data-intensive application suffers from different kinds of memory issues, like out-of-memory error or some memory underutilizations in the cluster. So PufferFish is an elastic memory manager that leverage the OS container to achieve dynamic memory allocation through three different operations, which are PUF, suspend, and reclaim. And the result shows that PufferFish can avoid the out-of-memory error, preserve job performance when they are co-locating with each other with different kinds of jobs, and also it can improve the memory utilization of a cluster. So that's all my presentation for today. Thank you for attending.
Thank you. All right, the next speaker can get set up, and we'll take one question in the meantime.
Neera Jayadar, Stanford University. Thank you for the great talk. I just was wondering, you mentioned you use the shortest job first as a policy to determine priority of which container to extend, right?
Right.
Does that mean you assume recurrent jobs? And
sorry?
Does that mean you assume jobs were recurring? How did you do?
Yes.
I understand
so
instead of time.
The shortest job first policy is based on some historical trace. So that means this job will recurring in the cluster.
Right. Yeah. So was that based on offline analysis, or was that done when there is a request to extend?
I think you can take it as offline analysis because we based on the historical data of the job execution time. Yeah.
So you know even before starting the
yes.
job that it's
right.
going to require that
yes,
much.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's take it offline. I want to ask you more.
Sure.
About this. Thank you.
Let's thank the speaker again.